Good evening, and welcome to the Watchman's Warning.
I was hitting the wrong button. I was muting myself while I was already muted. Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall. I'm Jason, your host again, and I have my lovely wife Jennifer with me, and on the line we have Miss Patricia. Hi, sis, how are ya? Patricia, a wee bit of technical difficulties here. So if Patricia, you can hear this, check to make sure that your proper microphone is set up again. And, yeah, I will leave you on live here so that once you sort out your technical difficulties, I thought we had it all figured out, but here we are. You know, and this is kind of the thing that, you know, we're going to, stuff like this, we're going to talk about tonight. Don't get frustrated, Patricia. We go through and have, oh, I hear typing. Patricia? I hear you clearing your throat. Does that mean anything?
do.
Okay. I am going to double check everything to make sure that my end is good. Okay, that's good there. Let's see. It's loading the audio. There we go. Okay, so my voice is coming through. Bring up Skype. Maybe Patricia can't hear me because of her speakers.
Are we not on?
Oh, yeah. We're on.
Okay. So.
Yeah. And I heard her typing.
She can't hear us, though? So should I just start then?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they're fixing technical difficulties. Tonight is testimony sort of thing, right? That's what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay. So we just wanted to share who we were before Jesus, how we came to Jesus, and oh my goodness, how thankful we are that Jesus saved us from the miry pit.
Amen.
So my testimony is I so did not grow up in a Christian household in any way, shape, or form. We were as heathen as could be. In fact, my mother liked to play AC/DC just to annoy the Christians. I don't even know where to begin. Who I was before. I was a rotten teenager. I did a lot of LSD. I was pretty deep into Wicca and Druidism and indigenous religions. I really, really liked the idea of nature worship and Mother Earth and the sun god, and I was an alcoholic. And very, very, very promiscuous when I was younger. Had a baby 2 days after my 15th birthday. Sold myself on the streets when I was in my early 20s. And hated Christians, by the way. I was not an atheist. Like I said, I was pagan. Well, it's pagan. I hated Christians. I thought they were all hypocrites. I thought they all preferred money. They had too many rules, you know, too religious, thinking that just because they went to church on a Sunday that they were better than me. I didn't really have much idea of parental affection. So the idea of some Christian telling me that I had a father in heaven who loved me, I thought, well, whatever. And the idea of somebody telling me what my sin was and me sleeping around was bad, me drinking was bad, me smoking pot was bad, me, you know, witchcraft is bad, horror movies are bad, my music was bad. Everything was bad in these people's eyes. And I thought, well, you know what? I don't care. And when I was 16, my hatred for Christians got worse because they thought one day it would be cool to lock me up in a room with them, encircling me, trying to cast demons out of me. That didn't work. And I mean, when I was 16, I was sent to Bible camp because my parents had become Christian. And they thought sending me to Bible camp would change my ways. And when I got there, everybody was hyper and happy. And they all did this worshiping God and speaking in tongues and everything, and I just thought they were crazy. But after, when they're not in church, they were all kind of different people. And I thought, well, yeah, that's hypocritical to me. And I had babies when I was really young. I got married the first time when I was really young. And it lasted so many years, and it was not a very nice relationship. I had a very, very abusive first husband, and I wasn't Christian then. And I'm not very good at giving testimonies. I ran away from my now ex-husband, and I met my current husband. And when I met my current husband, he'll tell you what type of person he was. But I was still an alcoholic, and I still hated Christians, still practice witchcraft. And we lived in this big city, Nanaimo. We met in Nanaimo, British Columbia, Canada. And we got married. As soon as I got divorced, we got married, and we moved up north. Somebody had to have been praying for me. Somebody, probably my uncle. But we moved up north to northern British Columbia, kind of where we live now. And I introduced them to my aunt and uncle, who are major Christians, Pentecostal major Christians. Every Saturday night, they got us to watch The Passion of Christ. And the first time I ever watched that movie, all I thought was that poor mother. I didn't care too much about the whole Jesus thing. I cared that poor mother had to watch her kid die so brutally. But my uncle, he was kind of a pain in the butt. Every Saturday night, he would phone me. And my husband and I, we'd argue on who was going to answer the phone, because we knew when we answered the phone, he'd be asking us, "Oh, I'll pick you up for church. Oh, I'll pick you up for church." And finally, I told my husband, Jason, I said, "Well, we might as well go once. We probably won't burst into flames when we walk into the church. Maybe." So we decided to go. The one. Do I still talk?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay.
You're not hearing her at all, are you?
No.
No. She's saying, "Praise God, amen," all that stuff. I'm on the phone with her, so here, let me get this for a sec.
Okay.
I got to check something here.
So,
keep
anyway.
Talking, love.
Oh,
you're muted. Hold on, Patricia.
Should I still talk?
Okay, talk. You can't hear?
Mm-mm.
No, we still can't hear you. Stop it.
Do I continue to talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so we decided to go to church with my uncle because he was annoying and very persistent. And we went the one Sunday, and it's a Pentecostal church, so you can imagine how hyperactive they were and very excitable and speaking in tongues. But we didn't think much of it. We heard a nice little sermon. And then my uncle convinced us to go a second time, and we thought, okay, we'll go.
Hang up the call.
So we went to church, and I heard a sermon. Not that I really understood what the pastor was saying.
No, just
nice enough guy. I just didn't really understand at first what he was saying. And that was March 15th, 2006. That was the day I gave my life to God. And I gave my life to God because, not because of a preaching, not because of anything like that, but because of a song. There was this lady there. Her name was Sandy Flint. And she was singing a song by Mary Mary, which is a Christian hip-hop singer, called Shackles. And when she was singing that song, all I could think was, can I have
yes.
whatever it is she had? Because with all this apparent magical power I had, and all my worshiping of so many gods and goddesses.
You'll come to need it.
And
so,
all this stuff.
Hold on. Yeah, so hold on a second here. Okay. Sorry to interrupt. You're going to...
Yeah.
Okay, you're unmuted. Can you talk? I have no idea why you're not getting through, sis. Can you call in under the guest line, like on your home phone?
Tell me when I can.
Okay, which means obviously we have to hang up. So, okay, bye. I do apologize, everyone. We are having some sort of technical difficulties. We can't figure out why. Patricia can hear us, but we can't hear her. So she's going to call in an alternative way, which should work. So I do appreciate everyone's patience that's listening. And here she is. And... Unmute. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
There you are. Yeah, I figured
that
out.
Oh, hallelujah, finally. My goodness,
yeah.
This is
so until
crazy.
We start
we're
out,
working on this.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, folks. We're working on it.
Yeah, so basically what for anybody who is curious, you have two ways of calling in. One is via a web browser on your computer, which is what Patricia was trying to do. Or you can call in with the number that you see right there if you're listening live. We may or may not get to anybody if you call in, but just understand that, you know, this is the way that Patricia has to call in.
Yeah, for some reason, we're working on different internet. My son found out something today, so we're trying to get different internet. Maybe it's the internet. Maybe it's too slow to do direct connect, you know?
I don't
it.
Know. We didn't have a problem last week, and my computer has been really dumb all week. It has been dropping or really bad internet just on my computer. All our other devices, everything else, no problem, but just my computer. And this
What's
is how we
on?
Broadcast via my computer.
Yeah.
Tonight, even earlier today, Jen, I was at work. I was working for a few hours helping a buddy out. And actually, the gentleman I told you about, the who was very, very angry that I worked with at my job, the older gentleman, he called me up the other day and said, what are you doing on Friday? I need a hand. So, but even earlier when we were talking, she's like, the internet on the computer is not working. It's not working at all. I get home. I thought I figured something out, but it was being dumb. And so I just stopped that, and now it's working. It's working perfectly for doing this.
That's because you're on a hotspot.
Wow.
I am not. I am on the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
I did not mean to throw my phone.
And I just went on the chat room, bro, and it has me in as the watchman on the wall. I don't know why when I logged in as Miss Patricia.
Apparently, I have been disconnected from the chat.
Oy vey.
So,
you want me to get out of it?
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
I don't know what I
said. Oh.
I try not to pay too much attention to the chat myself, but anyway.
You know, Blog Talk has changed since I've been on it 15 years ago. It has totally changed. It used to be so simple. And
yep.
It's crazy.
Well, let's let Jen continue where she was at. We do
okay, go ahead, sis.
My love.
Well, I have to remember where I was at. But anyway. So where was I? Oh, yes. I heard a woman named Sandy Flint, and she was singing that Shackles song. And I wanted whatever it is she had, because the look of joy and feeling of freedom.
That was beautiful, the song you sent us.
What song?
In Facebook chat.
Is that the song you sent, honey?
I didn't send anything.
I didn't send a song. No, it's a hip-hop song. It's an old hip-hop song from the early
2000s. Oh, okay, because I know there's a song you sent me in our chat at Watchmen on the Wall on Facebook, and it's beautiful. But go ahead, sis.
But,
maybe you can play it tonight.
She didn't sing it as the hip-hop song, but the way she was singing it and the way I was like, how do I get whatever it is she has?
Mm.
And then I know after the song, there was a man preaching, which really got to Jason, he'll tell you. But after the sermon and after all the stuff was done, they decided to do an altar call. They said if anybody wanted prayer or anything like that. And I walked up my uncle and I said, how do I get what that woman has? And he said, well, you have to give your life to Jesus. And I'm like, how do I do that? What must I do to get what she's got? Because whatever it is, I want that. And he said, well, you have to repent. You have to know you're a sinner. And he had to explain to me really what sin was, but not in that tone where you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad. I wasn't interested in hearing how bad I was. I've gotten enough of that throughout my life. I wanted to hear that, not that I was bad, but that upsetting the Creator, upsetting the one who gave me life and the one who gave his life for me. So the fact that I wanted to be pleasing to that, then it was easier for me to say, okay, well, now I get it. Now what I've done is I've rejected a gift and I've hated God because of the wickedness of what other people, and I did bad things that hurt God. And when I understood that, I knew how to repent. I knew how to ask for forgiveness for that. It was more than just an I'm sorry. It was more than just tears crying. It was more of a, Lord, you know, I need whatever it is you got. It was like, I cannot do it on my own. And I am so willing to make you absolute king over my life. Not that I haven't messed up extensively over the years, but I have.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling, like, because the song Shackles was talking about chains coming off you and how free you are in Christ, when I got born again, that's how I felt. It's like so many, like that, like the Pilgrim's Progress book. When you hit that foot of the cross and all your burdens and bitterness and malicious and anger and all your guilt and shame and fears just kind of just dropped at the foot of the cross when you finally gave your
powerful.
And I was so excited. And actually, Jason and I, we got born again on the same day. So when Jason told
really?
Me, he was born, yeah, we did. At the
tell
same
me, tell
time.
Me, tell me, what happened? Tell me how.
Like I said, I asked my uncle, and he told me how to do it, and he prayed with me. But right beside me, apparently, that preacher guy that was preaching that day really got to me. And he actually apparently was supposed to be going, and he was supposed to be asking for prayer for his stepdad. And I guess the preacher guy, Jason likes to say that God suckered him into it, because that was the only way to get him to go, is he kind of had to trick him into it, sort of thing. But I guess the preacher guy heard what was going on between me and my uncle, because we were right beside each other. And he thought, hey, okay, we'll do that then. That's what we're doing. So he was telling Jason how to repent and how to give his life to God. So, like Jason likes to say, he kind of got suckered into it.
Yeah,
because
he
missed it, and it really did happen. But it's like God's like, yeah, I'm going to play a little sneaky here, you know. And so we got born again on the same day. And the crazy thing is after we were born again, we hadn't been baptized in water yet. But I actually, we kind of got bombarded with stuff a lot when we were baby Christians. So we got, there was a believer's Believer's Voice of Victory convention going on that was live.
Oh, wow.
That my cousin and uncle and all them were watching, which is like Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Seville, his name, I think. Jesse the Planet.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that thing. Voice of Victory. Yeah.
And so we were watching that, and my uncle gave me a set of tapes called Who You Are in Christ by Kenneth Copeland that was done in the late 70s.
That's before he got messed up. Now he's a mess. Yep.
That's before he got into the Word of Faith stuff. I had eight set cassette tapes, and I had a little Walkman, which for all you young people, that cassette tape is just a little music thingy that, you know, anyway, look it up on Google.
A little cassette thing. Yeah, you put this little plastic thing in there and it plays music. I still have one.
Which is a portable cassette player that you have had.
Yeah.
Google it.
Fit in your pocket.
Yeah. So
right?
I had these eight tapes and I was listening to them and I was just so like getting this list of how I am, who I am in Christ, and not just that Jesus saved me from hell, or not that just that he was a sacrificial lamb, happy Passover, everybody, but that he, who I was in Christ, was a new creation in Christ, a new, you know, something never seen before. I was a priest in heaven. I was a citizen of heaven. I was getting all of this information. And actually the last tape, on the last side of the tape, when I was listening to it, he was talking about praying and asking God. He said, okay, wonderful. You know who you are in Christ. You've been born again. You're excited. You want to follow the King, but you're not doing nothing without the Holy Ghost. Jesus will send you a comforter. He will send you a teacher. He will send you somebody who will with you and correct you gently when you need it.
So
he said, this is how you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. He said, you need to ask God, send me the comforter, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And when I did that, I got full of the Holy Ghost. And that was more than just kind of like John's baptism, sort of born again. That was like power and fire in my soul, and it's like
you can feel it, like you can't control,
like
you're so much in love, you want to tell everyone.
Yeah, and it was that, you know, in the book of Acts, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost and tongues of fire came on them, they were filled in their speech, and they were excited, and they were glorifying God. So when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost like that, all by myself in the house, I was just so on fire, and I was like, whatever you want me to do, send me, Lord. I am so ready to shout it from the rooftop on who you are. I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to scream that you are God. And
yes,
then when Jason, I was so excited.
Let me read it, sis. Let me read it. That's Acts 2.
Yeah.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the houses where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. That's beautiful, sis. That's exactly what happened to you.
Yeah, that is what happened to me. And then so I was all fired up then. It's like I had like 15 pots of coffee. Especially for somebody who doesn't actually drink coffee.
Yeah, you do. You're caffeinated a lot. I love it. Oh, you there? Did I lose you? Hello?
Like on your home phone?
I can't hear you now.
Radio.
What happened? Hello? Hey, sis, are you there?
Yeah, are you there?
I'm here. I don't hear Jennifer at all.
Yeah, but you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you. What happened?
Well, obviously, if you can hear me, as soon as Ben said something, you'll hear Jen. I had to disconnect and reconnect, and you got dropped, and I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened. My goodness.
I don't know if we're going to stay with Black Hawk.
Put it that way, bro.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So
if they give us another free month, we might, you know.
Maybe. Continue on, my love.
So I'm almost finished. So when Jason
got home... I want to hear the rest of it. What did I miss? I mean, this is, you know, the tongues of fire. That's when it dropped, that you got hit, and you felt the power of the Lord right searing right through your heart, right through your spirit, and you couldn't contain it. I love that, sis.
So
expound.
I was so excited. Like, I had 15 pots of coffee in me. And when Jenna got home from work, he's like, "What is with you?" And I was like, "Oh, I heard the most amazing thing, and the most amazing thing happened to me, and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost." And he's like, "What does that even mean?" I'm like, "Oh, dude, come with me. I gotta show you." He goes, "No, I'm pretty good at just kicking it with the whole."
Yeah, I'm good with the church thing.
I'm good with the church thing and the born again. I was like, "No, dude, no." No. So I played just the last part of that cassette tape for Jason and got him baptized in the Holy Ghost. But afterwards, we've had some serious learning wilderness experience, Jason and I, since 2006. So as much as it's been amazing and we were so on fire, there are some honeymoon over sort of times, too, where you end up in a valley. And, you know, so... We got a lot of the word of faith stuff at first, and we got really, really confused, and we felt guilty a lot. And we actually had a brother in the Lord on Facebook give us a whole lot of trouble over the word of faith and telling us how wrong it was through scripture. And then we had you, Miss Patricia, going, "What are you doing?" So,
oh yeah,
but Uncle Louie, my Uncle Louie, preaching. He was a good teacher. He did give us some really good books. He gave me a book. And if any of you ever remember, I think it was in the book Acts 2. But if you ever remember, I was just eating up the word, like eating up the Bible. Everybody told me to start in John. I started in Matthew. I read the entire New Testament, and then I started reading Genesis and Malachi.
I was so
excited about it. Not that I understood Revelation at the time, and not that I understood anything about Isaiah, and Numbers bored me to death, the book of Numbers at the time. But my Uncle Louie, he gave me this book, and I know she's gone off the narrow path too, unfortunately, but Cindy Jacobs wrote a book in the early 80s called Deliver Us from Evil. And
you know, they were powerful back then. Why?
That's why Jesus says the love of money is the root of all evil, because when you give you can't give both God and mammon. You can't
they fell in love with money.
They chose money over God. So they but when I was reading this book, Jason and friends of ours and everything, we were all gonna go to the carnival. We went to the carnival. And we were at the carnival, and I didn't even pay attention to anything. I read this book in 5 hours. And it was showing things like, I mean, it was the early 2000s, 2006. So it was showing the wickedness of things like Pokemon and Harry Potter and witchcraft stuff. And it,
it wasn't the 80s.
It was like the 90s or 80s or 90s.
Not that Harry Potter's in it.
Okay, well.
Anyways, carry on.
Anyway, but I read the book in 5 hours. And in the book, she had said that, I'm pretty sure it was the book of Acts. Y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. But where the Ephesians, when they gave their life to God, they brought all their witchcraft books and they bought
yes,
brought
and they
all
burnt
their
them.
Stuff, burnt it. Well, see, this girl who got born again, who's filled with the Holy Ghost, she had runes, which is druid thing. I had tarot cards. I had a book of shadows. I had lots of witchcraft books. I had all this witchcraft stuff, and I had things from the indigenous religion, spiritual things, not my cultural things, but spiritual things. And
yeah, yeah.
I had all this stuff, and Jason had like first edition Dungeons and Dragons, and we had like witchcraft, like the Harry Potter series.
That's,
we also had like
after 19 through 20.
Yeah.
And many of those who had practiced magical arts, which you did, collected
mm-hmm.
their books and throwing book after book on a pile, began burning them in front of everyone. They calculated their value and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord concerning eternal salvation through faith in Christ was growing greatly and prevailing. You're a walking book of Acts.
I am a walking book of Acts. So
I mean, this is what you're telling. Well, I'm finally able to hear you because I'm on here. I can listen now. I'll hear what you're saying, and it matches Scripture powerfully. Go ahead.
So,
keep going. I want you preaching tonight. Keep going.
Tell
me about the tarot cards. Tell me about how you got involved in magic. Tell everyone how you got involved in magic, what happened, so they know what to look out for.
So when I got involved in Wicca and stuff, actually I started more with going into these little shops. So they're nice little shops. You go in there and there's candles and crystals and everything smells like incense and it's got, 'cause I was really into, so when I was a kid, I was really into fantasy. So fantasy books and television. I liked the Last Unicorn cartoon. I liked Rainbow Bright. I liked anything with magic in it. So all these cartoons that you think, like Disney cartoons and stuff that we all watch, Fantasia and all those things, got me interested in fantasy, the idea of unicorns and dragons and all that stuff when I was a kid. And you know, my parents, like I said, they were heathen, so they just let me watch whatever. And then when I was a teenager, there was like Tales from the Crypt and Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and there was movies like Hocus Pocus. And so it was a lot of movies and books. So I got into fantasy books, like the Harry Potters went out. When I did finally get Harry Potter, though, when they first came out, I was like fascinated. But
that's why the Bible says watch what you put before your eyes and in your ears. Yeah.
So it really, and then my music I listened to was very angry. I listened to a band called Suicidal Tendencies.
I remember them.
And I listened to like psychedelic rock, and I listened to, I listened to a lot of heavy metal and, you know, what is this? Clean old 80s rock. It was Slayer and Pantera and Metallica. AC/DC
was a
miracle
you
saved.
Keep going. There's hope for you out there if you're listening. This is Jennifer Schofield's testimony on complete testimony, but on Wiccan witchcraft, how she got involved. So listen, and parents, don't let your children get involved in this stuff. Go ahead, sis. This is powerful.
And like I said, my mother really liked AC/DC and stuff. So, and when I was a kid, the only interaction really I had with Christians was when I was 11, we lived next door to this family who homeschooled their children, right? They had this huge high fence around their house. For some reason, they were always in the backyard digging holes. I didn't know why.
What?
The kids were nice enough. Sometimes they were allowed out in the playground that was across the street from all our houses. But their parents were really strange. They gave their children, like the baby's name was Jesus. One girl's name was Mary. Another, my friend's name, the one girl I really liked, her name was Repent Your Soul. That was her actual name. So that was my experience with Christian, was like, that was just weird. So as I got older into teenage, though, I went into these shops and I got books. You get curious in the library and you get books on natural. So it's nothing wrong with natural healing, but when you get into natural healing, they usually, when you go into these shops, you think, how to do foraging and natural stuff, and they lean you into potions and spells, right? And that's what they lean you. So when you're gonna buy something on natural healing on a book, you specifically look, go into an actual or order it online or something. Just stay out of these shops. But then my mother took me, and she said it would be really nice to get this massage. It wasn't really a massage. It's Reiki, actually. And boy, when you come out of Reiki, like, it's a whole body thing. You feel drugged. Like, you feel so euphoric and drugged. And then you're, like I said, I was really into fantasy books. And and then I got a book of shadows, and then I was reading up on tarot cards. I like shows like Charmed, which was witchcraft.
I remember that. Shadows. I remember that too. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I liked movies like Interview with the Vampire and things like that, right? So I was really into fantasy stuff. And so when I was in these bookshops or in the school library, surprisingly enough, you could find these stuff. And so I bought my first set of tarot cards, which were like $400. Then I started...
Wow.
I was doing Wicca, and then I started looking into spirit animals and shape-shifting, and because of werewolf movies.
Golly.
So then I got into spirit guides, like animal guides, like ravens and stuff, and I got into indigenous spirituality. And then I thought, well, my mother likes to talk about how she's full-blooded Irish, so I looked into Irish people, and then I learned about Celtic, and then I learned about Druids. And then I met friends who were in covens, and then some played with Satanism, actually, and we did a lot of stuff in graveyards, and we...
Oh, brother, you were...
So by the time I was born again, because I had the Holy Ghost in me, it was only, a month or two after we'd been born again?
Yeah.
Okay.
That I read this book my uncle gave me. And I was looking at all my, because I didn't know what to do with it. I thought, maybe I should just sell all this stuff. It was really expensive, except for the runes, R-U-N-E-S, runes, which is a druid thing.
Okay.
Which was a gift from my brother. I had all these books, like fantasy novels, Harry Potter, and I had lots of Book of Shadows and spells, and I had spiritual guidebooks and all that stuff there. And then
you were heavily into it, and if you can get to live it, anyone can.
The devil used sneaky things I really like nature. I feel more comfortable in the woods than I do in the city. You know what I'm saying?
I love the woods too.
I like natural stuff, and I like
natural
healing, and I love animals, and I like Celtic music. Celtic is a people, not a religion. Okay, and so the devil kind of used that to drag me slowly into it, sneakily, right? But after I read this book, I told Jason, I said, we should burn all our stuff. Not sell it. We just burn it. We went into our backyard.
Had you read the scripture when you said that, or was it before you even read it?
I read that book, and then I went and looked for the scripture that she was talking about.
Okay.
And then I read the book of Ephesians, which to me became my How to Be a Christian 101.
Gotcha.
Was the book of Ephesians.
I love it.
And so I told them, I said, we need to go and burn all of this stuff in the backyard. So we piled up all this stuff, music, CDs, movies, cassette tapes, DVDs, books, you name it. And we had some sort of, clothing.
Hey.
We had art. We had because Jason's an artist, and then I had lots of Celtic art, like not Celtic art specifically, but witchcraft art, and I had spiritual things, like a lot of people will say, stay away from, you're not supposed to have a cauldron, which actually I use it to make spices, and you're not supposed to have a mortar and pestle, which actually is not true, guys. I mean, it's in Wicca, but lots of, but I had lots of like sweetgrass, and I had smudging equipment. So it's not the herb itself. It was the equipment that went along with it for
that
smudging. So it's not sage in and of itself.
Break down, what is smudging?
Smudging is usually most indigenous people will use sweetgrass. And what
use
you do?
What?
Sweetgrass.
Okay, okay.
Or sage. Some people use sage, but I love the smell of sage, but sage to me was more for Wicca than smudging. And
okay.
From my understanding, because I've only done it a couple of times, is what you do is you light the sweet grass, and you usually there's a person, you can do it by yourself, but there was a person that circled it around. This is how I got my spirit animal, by the way.
Wow.
This indigenous man did this. Well,
yeah.
And you circle around, and there's a feather, and you ever watch Dances with Wolves, and you basically you're covering your body with the sweetgrass, the scent of the sweetgrass, the smoke of the sweetgrass, or the feather to ward off evil spirits and to give you a blessing.
Boy.
Like a dream
yeah.
catcher.
Yeah.
I had dream catchers too, and that was to ward off nightmares.
Uh-huh.
So we took them all in the backyard, and we lived in an upper and a lower place. So we lived in the upper part of the house, and
uh-huh.
we had a young guy who lived in the lower part of the house, and
okay.
he was watching us burn this stuff, and he was looking at our CDs and some of our movies, like begging us to just let him have it. And we're like, nope.
Oh,
wow. And the craziest thing is the fire didn't really want to burn. Like, we were having trouble getting it all to burn with the books and everything, especially
yeah.
Jason's D&D. And Jason just looked at it and said, in Jesus' name, burn. And all of a sudden you could hear this scream, and there was, like, blue and green fire and everything.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's like what happened when I burnt my father's vase and stuff. 30-degree mason stuff. It wouldn't burn, and I did the
yeah.
same thing. I was, and I could, in the name of Jesus, burn. And I saw this eyeball appear in the middle of it, an eye, and I threw more gasoline on it, and pow! In Jesus' name, it was gone.
Well,
wow.
we were just like, our neighbor was looking at this from his basement window in the backyard. By the way, the grass will never grow there again.
Uh-huh.
And all the years that we were there, where we burnt that stuff, the grass will never grow. It is forever black. And,
wow.
But we did. We burnt it all, and we completely cleansed ourselves of all of it.
Thank you, Lord.
And then over the years, we had to learn things. So we got into some crazy things, the Word of Faith movement. Then we came out of the Word of Faith movement. Then we got into the Hebrew Roots movement. And then we got out of the Hebrew Roots movement. Then we got into We Hate All Christians at Church movement, which then we got out of that. And it's just, God just keeps teaching and teaching and teaching. And I always felt when I was a baby Christian, I felt, okay, so I burned all my Wicca stuff. I burned all my natural kind of stuff with the Wicca and the indigenous culture, like indigenous religion thing. And I thought, okay, now that I'm a Christian, Lord, I'm willing to give up anything for me. But, I mean, I love nature. I love being in nature. I like protecting nature.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it's
that's
beautiful
how
what you mean.
You know, as God said, he did the same thing to you that they and from the Garden of Eden.
Yeah,
that was all
did.
Nature in there. This is nuts.
I felt like, okay, Lord, I'm willing to give up and sacrifice myself for you, but do I give up all of everything I love and all of me, like what am I missing? And he led me to an elder of that Pentecostal church, who I think has passed away now. And I asked her, I said, why is it, you know, because I gave up Wicca and I gave up paganism, which is a nature-based religion. Why is
right.
it that I still feel like a calling to nature? Why do I still prefer natural remedies? Why do I still prefer all of this? And she said, you feel all of this. She said, you don't have to give up nature and natural medicines and feeling like you feel so free in nature. She said, because the finger of God is on everything he has created.
Right.
So when
right.
you're in nature, that's what you feel. You feel the finger of God on everything.
Yes.
And
yes.
it's his breath of life that's on every tree, bird, sky, cloud, piece of grass, dandelion you pick.
Yeah,
so
everything.
He spoke it into existence. So that's why. So I have learned over the past 16, 17 years how to mix some of my culture, not religion, but culture into
right.
my faith, and also the idea that I can still be an herbalist, not a magician,
uh-huh.
but an herbalist where I can still be a healer with natural things that God has made, but not potions, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I basically, God has shown me how the devil came in and counterfeited everything that God had gifted in me, counterfeited
uh-huh.
it, so I went off into pretty much devil worship is what I did.
Yeah.
And then, so here I am 16 years later, still, you know, and after, and it's not like we haven't had any struggles and valleys and, you know, when our son, I don't know if anybody knows, but our youngest son in 2019 took his own life because of drug
yeah.
addiction.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and everybody thought this will be the point where you are just going to be like, first God die, like the book of Job. That's, you know,
yes.
I never
yes.
wasn't angry at God and asked why, because I did, but a lot of people were like, well, I don't know why you believe this God. You should just curse God and just walk away from this because he didn't even save your son. But
yeah.
if you ever just actually truly read the book of Job, it doesn't matter what happens in this life that you know, that God allows.
Mm-hmm.
It, you come out with more faith. So we have more faith and more trust in God
yes.
after losing our son than we did before.
No
and
matter
it's
what
sad
you
that we have
yes.
to lose our son to learn, but we know that he is in heaven. I trust me, I can.
He's with the Lord. That's right. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's right.
Yeah. So despite what some people say about the whole idea of suicide,
I'll have mercy on who I want, the Bible says.
Yeah, so I checked. I actually had to ask God, you have to tell me whether or not he's in heaven or hell. And I got some confirmation from you and a few others. But
uh-huh.
the Lord basically told me, I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. And
uh-huh.
your child
uh-huh.
is my child. Your child, he said, is my child first. So he's with Jesus. So that's my testimony. I'm just here now.
Romans 9:15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have
mm-hmm.
compassion on whom I will have compassion. You can't tell. There's people out there that tell people your child's in hell because he killed himself. Thou shalt not kill. And that's not what this is all about. God knows. When people commit suicide, what are they going through? What's in their heart? What's in their mind? What is pushing them to this point? We know it's the devil. But don't
mm-hmm.
just block God out. God sees the heart. God sees the tears that you don't see. God sees the pain that you don't see. And God loves that child. And sometimes this is what the Lord told me when he took my daughter home when she had that car wreck. He said that he takes them home early sometimes to spare them of what's to come. He knew he couldn't take anymore. So I believe that your son is in the arms of Yeshua.
You know, my son was such a sensitive and easily led child, even at 21. So if you look at what the world has become and the wickedness that is just going absolutely stir crazy right now, I don't think my son could have handled it.
Even if he was
to be able to get off of the drugs and he was cleaned and everything and following Jesus, he wasn't as spiritually strong, say my other son is. My other son is very spiritually strong. My youngest son was like a wave crashing against the rock type person.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But hold on, honey. Jason.
What?
Here.
No.
We're a regular radio broadcast. We're in this for the glory of God, so we're just natural, and we just keep it real, if you're listening. Get in here, Jason. I love it.
Oh, my poor honey bunny is dizzy. He had too much sun today.
Oh, you birdie?
So, yeah, he's dizzy. He's had too much sun today.
Oh.
Probably like my stubborn man, not enough water.
I love it.
Sister, you don't have to drink 8 glasses, but drink at least 4.
Now, what would you tell those that are listening now or in the archives who are involved in Wiccan witchcraft, who are involved in the occult in any way, shape, or form? What would you tell them right now? Jesus' name, give her the words, Father.
I would ask them, what are you trying to achieve? Like, what is it you need? You know, when I followed Wicca, it wasn't just because I liked nature and stuff. I wanted power of my own. I wanted, especially with Wicca, because Wicca is an offshoot of Druidism, and Wicca is a feminist power. That no man can ever have control of me, and I will never be a victim, and I will have power and manipulation over the people go in my way, right? So, and you know, when it comes to, same with drugs and alcohol and stuff, Wicca and stuff is, you're looking for something. You've got like this hole in you that you're trying to fill, and you're seeking, because we have all have a natural desire to worship something, you know, whether it's ourselves or a superstar or, you know, something, we have a desire to worship. We were created that way. So when the devil comes in, he comes in to lie and say, I will give you all of this if you will just bow down and worship me. And he's not going to come in.
Yeah,
and
he even said
that
issue with Jesus. He said that's the exact thing. Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to come in and, like, the actual devil and say, come and worship me, the devil. He's going to come in as, I will give you
angel
power
of light.
To come. And, and I will, and he takes things you love. So, you know, like, You'll get into horoscopes and astrology and mediums and stuff, especially mediums. You know, there are so many people that I have seen that have lost, a loved one, and the mediums take advantage of that. Satan comes in and says, oh, you know, I can get you to talk with your dead loved ones.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then he gets... And he uses little simple things like ghosts, right?
Yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I used to do tarot cards. I used to do seances. And we even supposedly summoned the spirit of Jimi Hendrix. And when we got done with that, this was the band that I was with. When we got done with that, the strings on the guitar were twisted just like they were standing out straight when we first put the guitar down. But when we picked it back up again after he supposedly left, the demons twisted the strings in a certain way that he used to do his own guitar. So we thought, oh, wow, Jimi Hendrix was here. No, that was the devil himself. That was demons to draw you closer and closer into it, thinking that you're doing something powerful. No, God is almighty, not you.
And it, a lot of it is, like a lot, I don't know, each person when they get into Wicca is, and Druidism and stuff is for a reason. So a lot of people that get into like the indigenous spirituality, like animal spirits and things like that, it's because we naturally have a connection to nature because, like that lady told me, the finger of God is all over everything. So when you're walking around in your bare feet on the dirt and they're telling you, oh, that's grounding or earthing, and they're telling you you can feel the energy from the earth. No, you can feel the spirit of God in everything.
Yes, so, yes.
And, you know, and then a lot of it is power. So, you know, I really wanted a lot of power when I got into Wicca. I wanted control.
Exactly.
I wanted complete control over my own life. I didn't want anybody to tell me what to do. I didn't want anybody to control me. But I still had a desire to worship. And I wanted a God that's more than a God. You know, so I preferred Wicca because I wanted more goddesses over gods. Not that there are gods in Wicca, but I wanted the idea of Earth to be my mother. And I love the idea of fairies and water spirits and tree spirits and things like that. I just, because I like that idea. But it's a lie.
Unbelievable.
It's absolutely a lie. There is no water spirits. There's a flowing of water. And yes, you can say water is life, but Jesus said, I am the living water. So the idea that there's a God of the water, that's just Satan twisting Jesus saying, I am the living water. You know, when they say there's a guardian of the trees and there's sacred oaks or sacred groves and everything, well, God already stopped that. He had, I think it was Gideon, destroy all of the sacred groves. You know, and then now you guys really have to be careful because now they're telling you that, you know, you can connect with robots and you can and aliens are your creator and they made the Egyptian pyramids and they made Stonehenge. Well, no, they're like, how could Stonehenge be made? There were giants in the world in those days. God already answered that too. Well, how did the pyramids get made? It says that the Israelites in slavery built the pyramids. You know, with mortar and mud and straw and water mixed together. But yeah, if you're going to get into Wicca, realize that it is a counterfeit to the power of God.
Amen.
That you can't truly put a curse on anybody. You can think you can, but you can't really, especially anybody who's a follower of Jesus. If you think that you can walk up to some Christian person and say you could put a curse on them, you're wrong. They're protected by the Holy Ghost.
And that's right.
You cannot touch God's anointed.
There's no weapon formed against us will prosper. That's what the Word of God says.
Like you can have your culture. I get the idea that people are searching for their culture, not just indigenous people, but you know, a Celtic is, like I said, a people. It's usually French, Irish, Welsh, Scottish, English. Are the Celtic people back in the day. And I get you like the idea of their Celtic knots and you like their flutes and their drums and their music. That's fine. But do it all to worship God. I like drums. I like all the Celtic music. I have Celtic hymns, actually. I have amazing grace in like
but you don't worship. You don't worship the creation. You worship the creator.
Exactly.
That's what they confuse. You know, we want anything that you give most of your attention to, you're worshiping. No matter what it is. It could be video games. It could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Car racing, anything. If you care more about something than you do about the Lord, and you give all your attention to that, I mean, when you fall in love, you can't get that person, whether it be the girl or the guy, you can't get them out of your mind. They're constantly in your mind. Constantly you're feeling, you know, blushy and oh, I love them. And, you know, that's how you're supposed to feel about your bridegroom, Jesus, Yeshua. But if you're worshiping other things besides him, that's devil worship. That's what it is. And if you think you're going to make it into the heaven, I'd rather you be hot or cold, the Lord said. But because you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth right into the lake of fire. It's time to catch fire, people. Time to catch on fire with the Lord. Look around you at everything going on.
There was this thing years ago when we were in Ontario, and we went in, I think it was a job thing, or maybe it was at the time, it was kind of a welfare job thing, like where they were helping you get a job. They would give you some temporary money to pay your rent until you got a paycheck sort of thing. I can't remember what they call it, hardship or something like that. But we went in to talk to this, what they call a worker or a financial worker. And we couldn't do anything but talk about Jesus. Like,
wow.
Right? And she looks at us and she says, man, you guys sure take this Jesus thing really seriously. And Jason looked at her without even missing a beat. And he said, yeah, maybe, but Jesus sure took us seriously when he died on the cross. So it got to a point where some people walked away. Like, it's not like, we've had Christian people, apparent Christian people, walk away from us, you know, because we're too out there with the Jesus thing. And I thought, well, okay, you happily sit in your pew on Sunday, but I don't see you really on fire for God. And like I said, we all go through our, you know, personal struggle. We have a purging. We have a war going on, a private war of the saints. We like David Wilkerson said, we do have that where the candle, the fire is not burning as bright as it could. But that love should always be there, because I actually had an old pastor when we were baby Christians, and he said, talking about Jesus should be as easy as breathing. It's just something that you unconsciously you know, and
that's good.
You know, when we've tried to do stuff, counseling, you know, when we tried to do grief counseling, which didn't work out, because all we could do was talk about Jesus. Like, everybody wants us to talk about ourselves, and we're like, yeah, we have some struggles. Yes, we're hurting. Yes, but Jesus, and everything was just.
Gets Jesus. People aggravated, you know, even family get aggravated. Is that all you talk about? Well, what else is there? What else is?
And it's probably why I don't have any actual personal friends. I have acquaintances and people that love talking to me, like my neighbor Penny is amazing. Uh-huh. And when she's not busy, we like to have tea. But then she's interested and she wants to get to know Jesus more, and she goes to a little home church. But when she's not busy, because she's a very busy person, she's a freedom fighter, so she's a very busy person. But
excellent.
For the most part, people, when Jason is at work or was at work before he doesn't have a job now, but. When he's at work, some people, there is one Christian there, but most of the people kind of just rolled their eyes at him because he liked to talk about Jesus. And, you know, like I was talking to a government official today, and I was talking to him about some of the things I'm frustrated with my country, but I still ended up throwing Jesus in there, no matter who
now,
I
what country is that? What country? Because people think you're in the U.S.
I live in Canada.
There you go.
We call the Soviet Union, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
it's,
right.
It's a communist country now.
That's good, sis.
we're under tyranny, and we have, if anybody has read about the Emperor Nero in Rome, who actually murdered Paul and Peter, we have a little Nero running our country right now. So I was just finding out, you know, I'm curious about what these new there's new politicians in our country that are trying to do like the tyrants. And I just, I don't much trust politicians in general, but I'm curious. So I talked to this man for over an hour. And actually, as a non-Christian, he says he lives by bear one another's burdens and take care of the widow and the orphan. I'm like, well, that's scripture. But I happen, like, no matter who I'm talking to, I think they kind of get annoyed with me. I have a tendency to bring Jesus up in everything. And I can bring Jesus up when I'm talking about feathers or if I'm talking about, I can talk about
the grocery shop, anything. I mean, I can't. He saved us from so much, though. What does it say? He who is thankful, who is delivered of much, is thankful for much. We were delivered from so much.
Was forgiven much, loves much.
Yes.
And we were forgiven so much. And honestly, considering I used to hitchhike around the country when I was a teenager and I did all these drugs and I ran away all the time and I got into prostitution when I was in my early 20s, no thanks to my ex-husband. Otherwise, I would have never done that. But, and all the things, I should be dead. I know, no matter how much Wicca or power, it doesn't fix that hole in your heart. It doesn't fix the Wicca and the witchcraft and occult and Druidism and Satanism, all these fake religions doesn't fix what's missing in you. And it doesn't fix depression. It won't fix anxiety. It won't make you feel free. You really don't feel all that powerful. You know, when you're trying to believe in reincarnation and it's rather exhausting trying to please different gods. To be honest, Wicca has 25 or so that I know of, that I could think of on top of my head, different gods and goddesses, not to mention the multitude of spirits you have to please, like the water spirit, the guardian of the trees, things like Hinduism and Sikh and Druidism and all these, and even indigenous religion. There are way too many spirits to please. And it gets really exhausting.
Yeah.
And when I was a teenager, I was a cutter because I was just trying. I was such a balled up emotional strain that I was trying to release some of the pressure of the emotion. And I couldn't deal with the, and no matter how much spells I did to fix my situation or get a person to love me or any of the stuff that I did not, help. And the only time I have felt truly at peace and when we got baptized 6 months later, well, first of all, I thought my uncle was just going to hold me under there longer just to, kind of wash all the things off a little more. But when I came up, I was like, oh, that's when I felt really clean, and it's not like I don't have my vices still and things that God's working on, but God likes to work on the spiritual things first before he works on any fleshly things, but like,
that's
you expect
what we... Be holy as I am holy, we're supposed to see being holy. Now, we might have things that we step into, but we have the choice to say yes to that or no to that, and turn and walk away from it and rebuke it.
Well, everyone,
I'm grateful you did, sis.
You know, everybody talks about, some people talk about when you get born again, that you're completely free of struggle and trouble, sickness and disease, and all your financial trouble will be over. And I thought, did anybody ever inform Paul of that? You know, considering all that Paul did for the name of Jesus, I thought, you know, that's how it got me out of the Word of Faith. I think it was you that told me, because you were a guy that it really stuck with me. It's like, okay, so if this was of self-wealth and, you know, all of that stuff, and God wants us rich and healthy and wealthy, and we're not ever supposed to get sick and all that stuff, why did Jesus take Paul then? Where was Paul's connection? And how come he never got physically healed from the thorns in his side? Why did he tell Paul, my grace is sufficient for you?
Remember the program we did one night with Brother, with Jason, your hubby, that Jesus did not die on the cross for your healing physically. He did for your healing spiritually.
Exactly.
You're right on it, girl. Right on it.
So
now he heals too. But that wasn't the main. He doesn't want you burning. He wants your spirit saved.
Like Kathy said.
What does that scripture say? I'd rather go to heaven blind and lame than go to hell with everything.
Yeah, it says in Matthew that Jesus said that if your eyes causes you to sin, you pluck it out, for it's better for you to go blind than to have your whole body cast into hell. Get to heaven blind. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It'll better for you to go into the kingdom maimed than it is for you to have your whole body put into hell. So, I just, you know, like my favorite scripture is Romans 8:38-39. Because, I don't know, Paul is my favorite. If I have a favorite apostle, he's my favorite apostle. Because honestly, if you're thinking, you know, and you're in witchcraft and you're in all of this stuff and you're struggling and you're depressed and lonely and you can't figure out what gender you are and you've got so much confusion from the devil, y'all just look at Paul, because Paul was many horrible things too before Jesus kicked him off his horse. You know, he murdered women and children, and he was so on zeal for his religion too. Everybody has a religion, whatever you call it. Everybody has a religion. And he was a zeal for his religion until Jesus kicked him off his horse, blinded him physically, and then fixed him spiritually.
Come on.
And then
let him go through a bunch of torture.
And finally, at the end, he was beheaded. But it didn't matter to Paul, because he said, to live is Christ and to die is gain.
And how do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, which is what you're doing right now. And we love not our life to the death. That's right.
But I love idea when Paul said, I probably won't get the whole thing, but I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor any, you know, nor any other creature will... I gotta look it up.
go ahead. Nothing can separate us from God, in other words. Nothing can separate us from God. And, you know, everything's not gonna, don't listen to them fake preachers out there saying, give me your thousands of dollars and I'm gonna lay hands. Once we brought a friend of mine, had a baby that was born deformed, and we went to Benny Hinn's church. I'm just gonna say this is when he was in Orlando. And we went up to the altar, and he was in the back, and she was crying. They were both crying. Please, can he come out and pray for my baby so my baby doesn't die? He sent a friend of his out, one of the ushers, to pray for him, and the baby died. You know, they say one thing, but if Hinn and all the others are so on fire for God and can do such great miracles, why didn't they go to the hospital during COVID instead of locking up the doors? I know a pastor up in Canada that was put in jail because he did not stop preaching or feeding the poor. He listened to God, not man. And that's what we're supposed to do. What was the name of that pastor, sis? Are you still with me? Okay. We have to obey God, not man. And sometimes we might get into situations where it's out of our control. And we get so caught up in the things of this world. And we think, this pastor can help me, or this man can help me, or this brother can help me, or this sister can. We can't do anything. Through God, all things are possible. We can't do anything on our own, nothing on our own. I'll never forget the time. There's so many testimonies. I've had guns pulled on me. And this man, after I got saved, I went back.
There we go. There's Patricia. Unmute her.
No.
No?
That's...
It goes again.
There. Okay. Corey. Patricia? Hello? Nope. She's gone again.
Close the other tab, yeah.
She has to call back in?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize, everybody. And while I'm waiting for a sister to call back in, I'll just read you that scripture. This is my favorite scripture. It's Romans 8. 38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you're looking, and your problem is that you're looking for power, and if you're looking for all of this stuff to fill that hole, oh, hold on. I know, get it. Hello?
Yes, I'm back. I don't know what happened, but...
Oh, it was me. For some reason, when you're on Blog Talk, at least for our computer, I cannot open another tab. Oh, I lost her again. My goodness. I'm wondering if we should just end this now. But anyway, I was just saying that hole that you're feeling, that thing that you're trying to fill with power or money or parties or certain religions where you got so many gods and goddesses to please, it's because you have a desire to worship. And the one you worship is the creator, the creator of everything. To use some of my indigenous family's language, you use... hold on. Is it going to work now?
Go ahead, sis.
Okay. So, I was just saying, to use some of my indigenous culture's language, God is the creator. He is the great spirit. He is the all-powerful. He is, more than just your ancestors. He is.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is, he was, he is, and he is to come. He is.
That's right. That's
right. And the
only
thing
that is God. One God, not three. One God.
And the only thing
that
can fill you up
is the Bible.
Is him. Right? The only one that can fill you up is him. Like, no matter what you do, you'll never have enough power, even in his, sliver of a nail on his pinky finger compared to God. No matter what the devil tells you, no matter, how beautiful you look or how much money you have or life, it doesn't, all these people and all these apparent tyrants in the countries and all these people like Yuval Noah Harari, who's saying free will is at an end, and they think they're gods.
Literally, people die,
they will end up in a grave, they will be bones, because the power of life and death is with Jesus, not with them.
Yes,
They
yes,
can put
yes.
all their memories into a computer all you want, but that's just a memory. Your life is but a vapor. Eternity is a very long time.
That's
and
right.
When I realized to get out of like reincarnation and stuff, I thought that it's exhausting doing one life. You want to do it over and over and over again to see how much you can mess it up.
Oh.
To see if you can ever obtain perfection or enlightenment or, you know, as the Jews, a better resurrection or whatever the Jews say. No, it's exhausting just doing this life.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of only got the one life, and when it belongs to Jesus, whatever he does with it.
Amen, amen. You have a powerful, powerful testimony, sister. I've heard bits and pieces of it, but it's golly tonight. My goodness.
Well, like I said, I was just looking for someone to worship.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know that I was loved. So when
yeah.
you're looking for somebody to worship, you're looking for somebody who will love you back. So if you're going to
yes,
love.
No matter, yes, yes. You don't got to do anything. They love you. They love you. They just want you to love them. He's your bridegroom. He's your everything. He's my daddy. Some people say, you're calling him daddy. Isn't that disrespectful? No, he's the dad I never had. He is my father. And I cannot wait to climb into his arms one day. Death, where's thy sting? I don't fear dying. I really don't. You know, I fear my family being without me.
Yeah, that's
but
my thing.
But I don't fear dying.
It's not about the death. I just don't want to leave my husband and my family
exactly.
behind and not, you know, who's going to take care. I'm a healer. We're women. We naturally have a desire to nurture and take care and make
yeah.
sure our loved ones are okay, which is why when it was the women that came to take care of Jesus at the tomb. It was
yeah.
the women
yeah.
that he revealed himself to because it was the women that are going, yeah, well, we love you anyway, even if you're dead. We're going to go take care of you. We just, you know,
a
we have a natural.
The first to say he has risen, right?
Yeah. It was a woman that, and it's not that, you know, women can't preach or anything, and people go through all these religious things, and why don't you just stick with the Bible? Jesus didn't have much of a problem preaching. He just said a man is ahead over a woman. It just doesn't mean that a woman can't do something. Like I said, it was a woman that Jesus appeared to first when he was resurrected, and it was, you know, like when these feminists, the devil is telling you feminists that the Bible is a misogynist book. Baloney. You know how many times God used women so powerfully, like Deborah, who was a judge, like Esther, like Ruth, like the women at the tomb, you know, that
yeah.
he, the first people that Jesus revealed himself to when he was risen from the dead were two women that came there to take care of his body, because that's what we naturally have to do
yes.
to take care of
yes.
everybody. And he said, you go and tell the men that I have risen.
Oh, I love it.
And then
I
the men
it.
Didn't even Then the men didn't even believe the women. The women would go, oh,
no,
okay,
they didn't.
Lord.
We're more open when it comes to things like that. We're not afraid to speak out. My goodness. I can't
so
shut my mouth. Lord.
And he, I have a book called 50 Women in the Bible that God used powerfully or something like that. So that's just
yeah.
50. So don't let the devil lie to you, feminists. The Bible is not,
I know, right?
It's not male chauvinist or anything like that. Just because
uh-huh.
the Bible says a man is ahead over a woman doesn't mean that he doesn't not supposed to show a sacrificial love or anything. And trust me, there are things that you guys keep thinking you want to do that you really do. It must be very exhausting for women who want to be both the man and the woman and then complain that the man doesn't do anything. I'm pretty well content
That's
being
good.
A woman and letting
yeah,
God
I don't mind. sandwiches and taking care of the house, I really don't mind it. I really don't.
I can't do manly things. I move wood today. I do know how to use a wood splitter and a hammer and tools and things like that, but...
You're a lot stronger than me. I couldn't do that.
Have you ever tried to do a manly thing and a woman thing at the same time? It must be exhausting.
No.
I'm pretty happy and content to let my husband do the manly thinking let me do the womanly thinking and just move on.
There you go.
And that
I
was the problem with me with Wicca and feminism is I was trying to be a woman with a man mindset. So I was trying to run the world
and
it was exhausting.
That's pretty good, girl.
I'm much happier.
Does Jason have any good song for tonight to play?
I don't know because I don't. I'm afraid.
I love that one song that you have one life to answer for. I don't know if he knows how to play that.
I think he uploaded a song or didn't. I don't know, sis. I'm afraid to touch anything.
I know, right?
Because you keep losing the.
Where is he?
He is.
Brother Jason.
No, he's sleeping because he got dizzy. Like I said, I think he had too much sun.
That's good.
Drink your water, people. It's good for you.
Yeah.
Water is life. First and
foremost,
drink of the living water because that way you won't be thirsty again. But second, drink water, because water is life.
I love water. I got a big 7-Eleven mug here. Holds a half gallon of water.
Yeah, because water is life. And we're 70% water or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did a DNA test, and, God is my father, so.
I love it.
I don't know. I just know that I'm happy to be a Christian. I always say follower of the way because a lot of people
too.
Are claiming to be Christian now and they're off. They're not. But
they've given Christianity a bad name.
I had a lot
of young in Mount Dora. When I go down to Mount Dora, one guy smoking a joint was like, "What are you, one of them Christians in that church down the road?" I'm like, "No. I'm a follower of the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life." And he looked at me. And he said, "Talk to me." He wanted to hear what I had to say about the Lord because I didn't say I was part of that community.
If you want to know who's
church,
a real
not
Christian,
all of them.
If you want to know who's a real Christian and who's a fake Christian, there is a couple of things Jesus pointed out. One, if you love me, keep my commandments. So you'll see them acting like Jesus.
Oh, but they were done away with. Come on.
No. Just keep this commandment. Two, he said that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Three,
they listen to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Three, he said, you will know them by their fruit.
Ooh. Ouch.
So,
mm-hmm.
What's the fruit? Well, in Galatians it says the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, temperance, self-control. So, and there's no appearance of evil. And there's a difference between evil. But, like I said, I've been praying for Russell Brand. But when you see some of his stuff kind of pop up on Facebook and stuff, he's mixing Christianity, which is actually Anglican Christianity, but he's mixing the Bible in with Eastern mysticism. You will know them by their fruit.
So
he's not born again. You see a lot of Hollywood people saying they're a Christian, but then you go to say, cool, they're Christian, then they're going to be in Christian movies, and then you go watch their movies, and they're doing horrible things with women, and they're cussing and blasting.
You haven't been transformed. My goodness, you're still the same person. They're lying.
Yeah.
They're deceiving a lot of, especially the young people, they're deceiving.
Yeah, and the repentance is a change of mind. So, and if we're in the world, not of the world, mm-hmm. we're in the world, not of the world, we're a peculiar people. So when you know, when that pothead kind of looked at him and said, oh, you're one of those Christians to Patricia, he already yep. saw the Holy Spirit in her. So he got indignant about it, but he saw the fruit of the Spirit. He saw the Holy Spirit in her. You'll see that in an actual Christian. A bumper sticker ain't going to cut it.
You know, he went to put his joint out, and I said, you're not offending me. You're offending the Father that made you, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he was like, couldn't say anything.
I love
how... Smoke it. Go ahead and smoke it. It doesn't bother me.
I love how non-Christians do that. When we were preaching on the streets in Nanaimo and stuff, we actually, for some reason, I don't know how it must have been God, because they were taught not to blaspheme around us. But when they did it, they would look at us and go, oh, sorry. And Jason would look at them and go, why? You're not using my name in vain. You're using God's
right?
name in vain, you know?
Not doing nothing to me. You're not sinning against me. Yeah.
You need to apologize to God. And after, you know, about a month, they stopped doing it. It's not like they wouldn't get the F words out and all the other words, but they stopped. Taking the name of the Lord in vain. They stopped. And it was a little out of respect for us, but I think they got it in their head like, oh, man. Or Jason scared them a couple of times. He said, if you're going to keep asking God to damn everything, just let me out. Like, tell me so I can stand over here. Because if you're going to get hit with a lightning bolt, I want nothing to do with it.
I
don't
want to
be in the line
it.
Of. Or when they would use Jesus' name in vain, he would
oh,
go,
Lord.
Where? He'd go,
you know,
where?
You know what's funny? Even before I got saved, and I was a whore, I was a druggie, I was a drug dealer, I was an alcohol. I was the worst of sinners. That's what Paul said, too, but it was me, really. He doesn't know. It was me. But, you know, even when I was walking that way, I never used God's name in vain. I don't know. I just didn't. I just couldn't. I never say JC, and I never said GD. I used the F word a lot, you know, but I did not use his name in vain. So it makes me wonder, you know, where's the conviction?
I don't know. I used to cuss like a sailor, I guess. So I did use the name again. But, you know,
oh, I was
one of the,
oh, yeah.
You want to know that fear of the Lord. Everybody goes, what do you know with the fear of the Lord? Think of it this way. When I was a heathen and not a Christian, and I would go around, say, my grandmother or you know, other, like my mother
oh,
or something
yes.
like that, and I would cuss, I had a fear that I was going to get a switch. Or soap in my mouth. So I had a fear that if I didn't respect the idea that my mother or my grandmother or whatever did not like that language coming out of my mouth, especially at like 11, 12 years old, I had fear. That's called healthy fear. Because I learned to respect my elders.
Yes.
Well, God is the ultimate elder. And if you're going to use his name in vain, you know, then you're disrespecting the ultimate elder, you know, the potter. You're
you know
the
what
place.
Happened to me once at Sprint? We used to sit in a group with like maybe six or seven desks when I worked at Sprint, and we were saving accounts, keeping accounts from walking out the door. But, you know, everybody was talking, and they said GD it. And I just lost it. I was in a, you know, I'm sick of this, you know, because I couldn't take the Satanists were in there. It was really bad. A man was in my bathroom one time, and I screamed for him to get out. It was getting, and this is going back in 2010, okay? But anyway, so they said, GD it, and a couple of them were Muslims. You know what I did? I said, Allah, damn it.
Yeah.
And they looked at me, and I'm like, how does it feel? Don't use my God's name in vain. And they had nothing to say. But that's probably when they started wanting to get rid of me. That's okay.
Yeah, I know. I keep losing friends. It's not like that I'm not a kind, I'm a go-with-the-flow hippie type of person. But people get scared of the idea of the preaching, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Holy
they don't want to hear it.
The Holy Spirit in me.
It's getting to that day, sis. It's getting to that day. They're not going to want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, I think the Holy Spirit in me irritates the demons in them, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind not having too many friends, and I have some acquaintances, and of course I have you, sister, and Sister Kelly, and Brother Shane, and it's not like I don't
yeah,
have
people.
That's
about it. I have you, Jason, Shane, and Kelly. My sissy, you know, that's it. You just, a team, that's about it.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's not like we can't
trust many meaningful people.
We can, I know we're not in person, but we still talk to each other and we still
pray for each other. You know, we cry for each other. We definitely, you know, we love each other. You know, we all do.
We love each other.
yeah. It is a best team ever put together by the Lord. Really, it's the best. And it blesses me. It really does. A lot happened when I was started on Blog Talk Radio. I was invited there by the security guard at Sprint. And he asked me to preach with him that night because he heard me, I guess, outside preaching. And that's where that was Brother John. And that's where I started getting involved with Blog Talk Radio and preaching. But and I'm glad he introduced me to radio. I had no idea that you could do this. I really didn't.
Well, I think that one day, Jason, I think I stumbled upon your show on Facebook or something, you and what's his name there, and Jason was listening, and I said, hey, look, you can call in, and he called in, and you guys all just hit it off. So, and it took a lot more dragging me in to get me to come on to this kind of stuff.
Because, he was on the get-go. I mean, you could just tell the power of God. And I was so glad when he said you were going to join. I was like, yes. Prayers
out. Oh, I'm no preacher. I'm a hippie. I'm not a hippie as in you know, meditating on my belly button sort of thing. I'm a hippie as in I much prefer hanging out with my dog. I prefer the tree. I like sitting in my garden.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And listening to the birds chirp, and I like to walk around in my bare feet and wear long skirts, and probably I look like you in the 70s or something. You know.
I love it.
That sort of thing. I'd like.
We have 10 minutes left, girl. 10 minutes.
Well, then you should pray.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Excuse me. What'd you say?
You should pray.
But what?
Pray.
Okay. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your Sabbath, Father God. This is the true day of rest. Your fourth commandment. And you said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And we love you, Lord. And we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Father God, for you put this day for us so that we can rest from all the garbage going on in the world, rest from running around at work or whatever. Now, if you want to pull a donkey out of a ditch like you did, we could go ahead and do that. Go ahead and preach. Go ahead and, you know, lift up the name of Yeshua Jesus. Go ahead. It's keeping the Saturday Sabbath. Go to church 7 days a week if you want. But Saturday is the true Sabbath. Roman Catholic Church changed it. And we thank you, Father God, for opening up our eyes to the true Sabbath. And Father, we ask that you would just be with our brothers and sisters and be with our family, our blood family, not blood of Jesus, but the blood in our veins family.
Yes.
And I still don't like that. The blood in our veins is Jesus, but the ones that were born into our family. That's how I'll say it. We just ask that you would save their souls. Save their souls, Father God. That Jewish believers would know that Messiah has come. And he's coming back. We thank you, Father God, that as people listen to this testimony, that they're going to be delivered from the spirit of witchcraft. And Satanism, and filth. Use the testimony of my sister Jennifer powerfully, Father God. for your glory. And we give you praise, Father. Go ahead, sis. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father,
we get to
use the enemy's little internet thing here to preach your word and your glory. May the words that I have spoke just bring you glory in everything, that how you save and how you deliver and that how you set free, and whom you set free, Lord, is free indeed. And may the hearts of the young people especially get touched, Father, and despite the wickedness of the world, may we be a light and a fire in the darkness, because your light always, always takes out the darkness of the devil. So, Father, we just ask that you give us opportunity and to meet other brothers and sisters in person, but also to give us an opportunity to always, always be boldly your word in everything we do. Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
How are we going to close? You got everything set up there, and Brother Jason's laying down. What are we doing? We're still learning how to work the new system out, people that are listening.
To be honest, I have no idea what I'm doing, and since Jason is sleeping, I know, but I don't know what I'm doing. And as much as I dislike YouTube, I might just have to go back, because at least I somewhat understand YouTube. But here we are. I think I should just end the episode, say bless you all. What's the little, you know,
end it?
Here.
That's what it says.
I have 6 minutes.
Okay.
I will read anything from the end of any letter from Paul.
Yes.
To be honest.
Yes. Yes.
Let's see.
This is good. This is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
I can't spell.
You what? Who what?
Half the time I can't spell. Okay, we'll try this one. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, silly phone. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Amen.
Amen. That's
so
good. That's good.
Hopefully by next Friday, everybody, I'm sure we'll all come up with a great topic, or there will be more testimonies. Maybe this is a three-part. Maybe Jason needs to give his testimony next week, and then Sister. And because I was long-winded and we had technical difficulties. Hopefully this week.
No, I wanted you. Your testimony was powerful. I didn't want you to stop. I mean, I could have jumped in, but I didn't want to. You have never given your whole testimony. And it's good that the people know who's on the Watchmen on the Wall team. It's good that they know, sis.
Well,
I love you. I really love you, sissy. I really do.
We hope that we pray. You all can pray for us at the technical difficulties when we figure out technology. We are all old folk here. You know, I'm Generation X.
Yeah.
My sister is older, a little older than me. So we're all, you know, Jason is the walking computer, and he must get frustrated trying to explain his male computer logic and speak computer to us females.
I can imagine how frustrated he is trying to teach me what I'm doing over here.
Oh, I'm sure he gets so frustrated with me trying to teach me anything about technology. It's like, you're lucky I can check my email at this point. So we love you all. I hope all our words bless you. And I think I'm just going to end the episode.
Okay.
And I don't know if that means
we'll be back here next week,
9:30
Eastern time.
Yes.
Good night, guys. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Good night.
Good night.